Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Adi, third hour, coming to you live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday around the country. We got it for another hour or so here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, radio.com, Twitter, of course, where all of our content lives, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right there, partner. Saddle up, partner. We got a little, well, you know the movie? Come on. Saddle up, partner. Who gets it? Come on, it's an old one. I mean, Santa hasn't even looked up at the show
in
2 days.
That's not Blazing Saddles.
Santa, so yesterday, Tiki went on a four-minute, it was an incredibly poignant, just because he didn't look up, now I'm going to call him out. This was an incredibly poignant, incredibly original, awesome point of view by my partner about Cliff Kingsbury, derived from, obviously, Kyler Murray and an extension of his coaching and his acumen and how he went through the game and how you thought, as you're watching this in real time, you thought he made a litany of mistakes, but then as you actually watch the game unfold, you realize he was actually very perceptive.
You're right.
And I sat there and I actually punctuated it with, it's an outstanding point. Like, I really had nothing to add. I said, I really hadn't thought of it that way. And then Santa comes in the next break. Hey, don't you think you guys should talk about Kyler Murray and the Cardinals at some point? Mike, yeah, you're producing the show. Are you here today?
You just missed it.
Well, you know, there's this thing called callers that you want me to screen, so sometimes I have to listen.
We didn't take a lot of calls yesterday, though.
We had people calling in. Doesn't mean that we didn't take calls.
He was screening.
We didn't take very many.
He was screening.
You to buy that excuse?
He was screening.
You to buy that excuse?
They weren't small enough gnats to get through the screens.
D-Cell, what do you think? Come on, you're back there with him.
Mike's struggling a lot of things back
there. What is he juggling back there?
A lot of different things.
Like what?
Different things that go into the show that don't always make it to the surface.
Gotcha.
There's Twitter. There's social media. I've got to coordinate with our lovely friends over on TV.
Yep,
I have to
handle
with the radio. I have to screen callers. There's a lot.
But how is that different from every day?
Right. So every day
Monday.
I will miss things on every show.
Because it was Monday.
At the time, it was impeccable, though. That was hysterical. All right, Mike, I'm just messing with you.
And just for the record, it was an hour and 15 minutes later that I mentioned this.
That doesn't
we
make
talked
it,
about Kyler at 4,
that doesn't make it any better, Mike. About,
that's a good point.
5:50, that's not a good point. He still didn't hear it. How is that a good point?
Because he missed it, and why did you even ask us to talk about it?
Because it was a big story. I mean, obviously doing his job. Hey, did we hit this? Did we hit this? Did we hit this? Did we hit this? I'll defend him on that. He was doing his job.
So he's giving you credit, but still taking a shot at you.
That's exactly what I'm doing. And you notice the order?
Yeah, exactly.
It was inverted. It was actually flipped the way you said it. All right, so maybe we have to flip a few of these names around. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, first round. Boy, this is going to be, I don't know if it's going to be quite like the 83 draft in terms of the quarterbacks, but in terms of discussion points, in terms of what your Giants did by taking Saquon Barkley, if Daniel Jones turns out not to be the guy, and we have no idea, the signs look pretty promising. He's a good athlete. Hopefully he has a good career for the Giants. But they passed on the quarterback a year ago. They take the transcendent running back. They got hit for a lot of that in the court of public opinion. If Sam Darnold becomes a star in the same stadium, they're open to screw. There's all sorts of moving pictures and floating theories out here. And I think that we all thought, to a man, Josh Allen was the biggest project.
Yes.
Okay.
Thought he had the biggest bust potential.
Correct.
Because of how inaccurate he was in college at a not Power 5 school.
No. And the few times he had a chance to shine against Oregon here on CBS Sports Network, didn't play well against Iowa the opening week on the Big Ten Network. I remember watching that. Didn't play well.
Yep.
So we were all in agreement. Josh Allen, big, strong, fast, rocket, can throw it out of the stadium. And we saw what he did to the Vikings in week 2 or week 3 last year when he won in Minnesota and he ran wild. So he's an athlete and he is a player, okay? Lamar Jackson, we're like, well, we don't really know who he is yet. He's a little frail. He runs like the wind. He did throw downfield at Louisville for Petrino. Josh Rosen was thought to be maybe the most cerebral. Baker Mayfield was thought to maybe have the biggest chip on his shoulder, maybe the most accurate, maybe the most moxie, maybe the most natural leadership.
Ready to play right away.
Yep. And maybe Sam Darnold, by not everybody, but by a lot of people, was thought to be maybe the most maybe the most check marks in all the different categories. Good size, good arm, good accuracy, good quicks, and all that stuff. Where are we right now? We're only one game into the next season, year two.
Well, Josh,
you see anything that changes your mind yet?
Rosen is clearly at the bottom right now.
And we can't even talk about Josh because we don't know if he's gotten better or worse.
And he's in a situation that is maybe the least enviable situation for a top 10 pick in the last decade.
I mean, you could say maybe of all time.
Maybe of all time.
I mean, you can maybe say of all time.
You're a top 10 quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you got to play. In theory, at some point, you got to get an opportunity. I figured it out. I learned a new offense. I learned how to play from college into the national. He might not ever get the chance.
And when he does, it's going to be for a team that is so bereft of talent.
It will be his third team.
He's going to play this year at some point for the Dolphins.
Not going to play. The Dolphins don't have him in their future plans.
Agreed. Right? But he's still going to play this year.
True.
But what he's going to put on tape is not going to necessarily be representative of his talents.
If you're a top 10 pick at quarterback, you get at least 2 or 3 years to figure it out with one team.
He might get 10 games.
Exactly. Yeah. If he does make it as a starter, it's going to be with another team.
But the truth of the matter is, now hold on a second. I don't necessarily disagree, but contractually, the Cardinals paid the heavy freight for the upfront.
He's basically free for the Dolphins.
Yeah, so you have the chance.
But if you're Josh Rosen, do you want to do that?
But he doesn't have the choice. He's on the Miami Dolphins. They own his rights. If they keep him on the team, he's on the Dolphins.
Yeah, but if they draft another quarterback,
which they will,
probably number one overall because the way that they're going, at least how they played after week one, they're not winning. They're going to be the worst team in the NFL. If they draft a quarterback number one overall, they're not picking up his fifth-year option. It just won't make sense.
Even at that cheap, reduced rate, why not maybe trade him? Maybe do what the Pats
did all
those
years.
Think
about what the fifth-year option becomes.
No, you trade him before the fifth-year option.
True.
And then next year's only three, by the way.
I know.
I would keep him. I could still maybe play him.
My point is, when he gets his chance to be the man, you are our future. You're our franchise quarterback. It will be with his third team. It's not with the Miami Dolphins.
I can't really do that. I'm just trying to see the whole picture, but I don't disagree with that.
If they were even entertaining,
I don't disagree with that.
If they were even entertaining that, they would not be starting Ryan Fitzpatrick. Even if they were terrible.
I crushed him for that decision. I agree with that.
So who's a top?
All I'm saying is that there's at least options. If the Dolphins play this well,
they
can maybe get a fourth-round pick, or they can try to swing something in a year. That's all I'm saying.
It just sucks for Josh Rosen.
Yeah, it's terrible for Josh Rosen.
Now, the others at the top end, I'm starting to lean to Lamar Jackson.
You're going to go Lamar Jackson.
And it's immediacy bias, obviously, because of the game that he had against the woeful Miami Dolphins defense, which had a handful of guys who were starting, who were on the street before after training camp was over. But he showed that he can complete big throws and not just crossing routes and slants and easy window throws, but down the field, digs, over-the-top throws with accuracy. He nailed them against this Dolphins team. Now, I know the Dolphins team was bad, but you still had to put the ball where it needed to be.
Just like we said about Dak with Charles Davis.
Exactly with Dak.
Still hit him.
You got to hit him, even if they're
My
easy.
Guy missed some open throws this weekend.
So did Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
He missed some open throws against the Chicago Bears.
That's right.
So he's showing, I'm not going to say he's proven, but he's showing that he can do that. And let's not forget, he's not going to all of a sudden become a non-runner. That's like the trick. It's in the back of the pocket right now for him to become a runner, to run for 150 yards and two touchdowns in a game. He hasn't even attempted that yet this season. So because of the versatility that he is presenting, I put him at the top right now, and it's recency, but it is what it is.
Wow.
I put Baker second.
Okay.
I still believe in Baker. Sam Darnold, I put third, and then Josh Allen, I'll put fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Josh Allen still got some growth,
mm-hmm.
but he, in a similar way to Lamar Jackson, I didn't realize how good of an athlete or tough of an athlete he is. He can't run like he did last year. Because he ran just about as much as it seemed like as Lamar Jackson did. But I think he's still got so much growth left as a quarterback. I like him.
I do too.
His completion percentage is way down, as we all know, because he was bad last year throwing the ball. Why he willed them to some victories was because he was physically stronger than I think people expected him to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my list. I like Lamar. I like Baker.
Lamar,
Baker, Darnold, Allen, and Rosen with an asterisk because we don't really know where Rosen belongs.
It's unfair to judge him.
Boy, do I. Is there anything that I really vehemently disagree with? And I know that you said this, so but it's such an overreaction to put Lamar 1. Come on.
I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be good.
I'm not saying he's not going to be good, but number one? So Baker Mayfield, who, by the way, set a rookie touchdown mark for a historically inept franchise last year with almost 30 touchdown passes.
Yep.
And just because he threw a few picks, and if Baker came out and threw for 309 and the Browns actually played the way they were supposed to, wouldn't you have Baker Mayfield number one right now?
Of course. But Baker Mayfield has a ton of great options, and he threw 3 interceptions. And a lot of it was making bad decisions. Lamar Jackson did not make a bad decision. Lamar Jackson, and again, part of this isn't just the metrics, not looking at the numbers and the success rate, but winning. Lamar Jackson, let's not forget, took a Baltimore team that 95% of consumers or viewers or analysts of the league had given up on. Joe Flacco's done. Let's put the young kid in. We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll figure something out. He leads them to the damn playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they played good football.
And he played one of the worst playoff games I've ever seen really any quarterback play in the history of football.
It's a different game when you get to the postseason. But the same thing happened with Andrew Luck. Let's not forget, Andrew Luck got to the postseason against the Baltimore Ravens his first year. Played one of the worst games. You could easily see they weren't ready. He wasn't ready to be a playoff-caliber quarterback. He only started, 7 games? 8 games or something like that. So
I like the kid too.
He wins, and he's still got to figure out how to win in the postseason. But he wins in the regular season, and he started this 2019 campaign with a splash. I mean, you couldn't have been more perfect,
man. Number one, jeez. I'll tell you. Imagine if that is the final parting gift from Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah,
let me just squeeze him.
He said it, by the way.
I know what he said.
He said
that. Let me squeeze him in the first round so we get that extra year. Mm-hmm. Wow. I still like, it's funny. I actually still really like all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I just, the one thing that I question, and, I'm probably more annoyed than I am actually shaken at Darnold's performance, because I know he missed throws that he's going to pop with his eyes shut eventually. But young man didn't play well Sunday against the Bills, and I can't get on the air and defend him. He missed big throws that generally, if you're about to start a borderline Hall of Fame career or whatever, big-time career, those are where you start to show the signs. You know, year two, home opener, divisional rival, and he missed some throws that were theirs. But I think Darnold's going to be really good. I really like Josh Allen, but every quarterback that I talk to, whether it's Phil Sims, whether it's Rich Gannon, all the quarterbacks in the CBS, the Trent Greens, all of them, all I hear is if you're inaccurate coming out of college or you're inaccurate early in the pros, you'll always be inaccurate. Now, it'll always be relative to your peers. I mean, he's not going to throw 52.1% for the rest of his life here, but is he going to ever get up to 64%?
Well, I mean,
that's highly debatable.
He did for a game against you all.
Yeah, CJ Mosley went out. We had nobody.
Yeah.
Before he threw a pick six to Mosley.
You're right. But the yards per attempt, I'm trying to find it real quick. It was.
And the Jets cornerbacks stink.
Yeah,
we don't have a good set outside of Adams and May.
Yeah.
Safeties are good. Quarterbacks aren't very good.
You're right. And so it is what it is.
But I don't believe, not that there aren't people who haven't defied this, but I guess if I had to put my order down, I'd probably still put
Baker 1.
I was going to say Baker 1. Baker or Darnold 1. I'm not selling after one game.
Mm-hmm.
People could look at me like I have 3 eyes. That's fine. I'd say Baker / Darnold. I'd say Lamar. I'd say Allen, and I'd keep that asterisk with Rosen. I really would like to see Rosen play, but and again, we'll see him play with the Dolphins. Problem is, how do you measure him? How do you grade him out?
I don't know, but think about by the time he starts playing.
Oh, God. Even if he plays this week against the Pats, it's week 2. It doesn't matter when he plays.
Yeah.
By the way, that spread is already up to 18.5, 19. I told you it's going to go up to 20. Although you said something that was interesting. Historically, Belichick usually keeps it.
It's always tight.
Yeah, on his old coaches. I don't want to embarrass
him. And I don't know if it's on purpose, but it just seems to happen that way.
It does happen. It happened last year. I actually lost to Patricia Sunday night. All right, so what do you think about the quarterback crop? And by the way, you could throw in Derek Carr, some of the quarterbacks from last night. Obviously, Deshaun Watson's a young quarterback, too. Lamar Jackson, is he now at the top of the list? I mean, it's obviously a quick reaction to the start of the season, but do you feel enough confidence to say, yeah, Lamar Jackson, he's going to be the best quarterback of this group? 855-212-4227. We'll get some more calls coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Talking quarterbacks, that's always fun. And, you know, just go back to where you were before the 2018 NFL draft. You know, we always gravitate. I mean, there's never, I mean, yeah, 83, and there's a few other examples where three quarterbacks or four quarterbacks. But, you know, last year was so unique and so special.
Yeah.
Because there was so many different quarterbacks to choose from. And we always gravitate to one for a certain reason, whether it's style, whether it's background, whether it's personality, whatever it is. And we all forged our own opinions. And now here we are, you know, a year later, a year plus a game later, and maybe we have to recalibrate a few of those opinions. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, we're trying to, because you only can evaluate guys once they perform or don't perform. And we've seen both. We've seen top draft picks, first-round quarterbacks excel. We've seen them bust. So we don't know yet. I thought Mark Sanchez was going to be okay, to be honest with you.
He was okay his first couple of years.
Took it to the AFC Championship game twice.
Uh-huh.
And then they moved on from Thomas Jones, and that derailed everything. I don't know, LaDainian came in, but still, it was just a different feel.
Yeah.
After they kind of stripped down, they made him do too much. Sanchez, mm-hmm. throw the ball too much. They went away from the run game. So much of it depends on scheme and, like, the progression. How are you slowly bringing a guy along? I got to tell you, the Cowboys have done an unbelievable job with Dak when you think about it, the progression, because he's came in unexpectedly after Tony
Romo. Well, they stumbled into that because Tony got hurt.
But, I mean,
they weren't going to play but if Tony was healthy.
They could have crushed him. But, you know what I mean? They could have crushed him by saying, you got to do exactly what Tony would have done for us.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
They modified it.
They modified it. They made it simple for him. It was all short passes. It was hit your tight ends. And most importantly, turn around and hand the ball off to Zeke Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
And he led the league in rushing. They actually had a pretty successful season. And so he was able to have success without having to be the man,
mm-hmm.
which helps quarterbacks grow. And Cowboys have done it right by Dak. Not all teams always do that right by their young quarterback.
I want to see what the Cardinals do with Kyler Murray. I want to really see that again.
Me too.
I'm really curious just to see how he looks in the first quarter or two, because is there a continuation of what he did in the final quarter against the Lions?
Yeah, well, you know what happened is it Cliff Kingsbury he simplified it. He stopped, and you heard him talking about this after the games. Like, it was on me. I was trying to be too complex and too cute, and that happens sometimes as a coordinator, especially when you're, like, the quarterback guru mind, at least that's the title that's given to you. You overthink things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, that didn't work the first time. Let me juice it up and try this and do this and X, Y, Z. And next thing you know, nobody knows what the hell is going on, especially the guys on the field. And so in that fourth quarter against Detroit, again, some of this is on Detroit for being inept when they had the chance to win the game, including players that shouldn't have been inept, like running out of bounds, Amendola. And so when you look at what he did, he just said—
No, not running out of bounds.
That's what I mean,
running
out of bounds. But when you look at what he did, he just said, Kyler, we're going to make things simple. You're going to have, you know, deep outs you have to throw. You're going to have crossing routes you're going to have to throw.
Mm-hmm.
Use your legs, escape pressure, make it simple. And they had a monumental comeback. A lot of people had given up on that game. I stopped watching it. And then next thing you know, I was like, wait, that game's in overtime?
Yep.
So,
all right. Let's get some calls, see what you're thinking. 855-212-4227. Sam is first up. Sam is in California. Sam, where are you at in California? What part?
I'm in Ceres, Northern California.
Gotcha. Okay, what's on your mind, Sam? How you doing today?
Yeah, a couple things. First, I want to say you had a previous caller who spoke about limiting field goals, saying, you know, three
to a game.
Which I thought was cool. But actually, that would increase because I looked it up, and NFL teams only attempt 2.8 field goals per game, so that would not work.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean the team. I mean, there's teams that have won 15-9, and they attempted 5, and they made all 5.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's not a universal, uniform rule. But I hear you. Go ahead, Sammy.
I was talking about Cleveland. Everyone hyped up the Cleveland Browns. I'm not a Cleveland Browns fan, and I just couldn't believe how everyone is hyping up Cleveland would be so good this year, and now I don't hear anything about them after they got blown out. I don't hear anything about
They've been getting
Cleveland.
Crushed, Sam. I don't know what you've been listening to. They've been getting crushed. They got dismantled against the Tennessee Titans, and they've gotten pounded. I mean, and the story's still going on because now Odell Beckham Jr. today said he's still going to watch. He's still going to wear that stupid watch.
I saw some report.
He's going to wear the watch again.
And look, we're talking about it again, so we're only adding to this number. That 300 or 250,000 is conflicting numbers on how much it actually costs.
Yeah,
that Robert Mealy watch that he wore that was Browns colored. Amount of monetary gain that they've gotten, like promotional gain that they've gotten because he wore that watch is like $7 million.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. Guys, that's why I said yesterday.
People
good
are talking
for them.
About it. It's good for them.
I mean, he and acts that's like why a clown, but good for them.
Interestingly, the NFL can't really do anything about it.
Well, it's a hard object. They technically can.
Guys wear, like, jewelry, chains,
yeah, but I
etc.
wear. Can you wear a chain?
No, I don't.
Like my chains are pliable. Chains are.
Yeah, they can rip off.
True, but it's still a hard object.
It's still hard. I mean,
now the cross. If I'm wearing a cross in a game, that's hard. You might have to say that you can't wear.
Guys,
but if I'm
do.
Just out there with a chain, that's a pliable. That's fine.
The only thing that they can go after him for to not wear it is by saying, as you said, it's a hard object.
Yeah.
But there's no rule against wearing jewelry.
No, I understand that.
So he says he's gonna keep wearing it.
You know, and then the distraction just keeps following him, which is what he's all about. And with that, I just be distracted Monday night against my team. Joseph's in New Jersey, and Joseph is on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Joe?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I'm going back to the young quarterbacks. I'm a huge Derek Carr fan, and I don't know if you guys watched the game last night.
Yep.
Yeah, we did.
Dude, I mean, he completed every freaking pass that he threw.
Yeah.
I mean, the receivers only dropped, what, two of them?
Yeah, only a couple. But I think more important, you know what help is really helping them, Joseph? You're a Raiders fan then, I'm assuming. What's helping them, and they haven't had this for a couple years, it feels like, going back to when Latavius Murray – was really good for them.
Uh-huh.
Their rushing attack has been spotty, intermittent.
Completely. Darren McFadden for a couple of years, but he was always hurt.
Always hurt. They had Doug Martin, that they released him. Like, they haven't had that consistency in the run game in a few years.
That's true.
And this is why I loved when they drafted Josh Jacobs. He's a diverse kid, meaning as a player. He's not, you know, receiver-ish like Le'Veon Bell or Saquon or Alvin Kamara or any guys like that. But he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and the kid is tough as nails, man. Mm-hmm. Like, that addition makes Derek Carr's job so much easier. And it's football simple, man. It's like if you run the ball, you do it effectively, your quarterback is going to have success. Because as a linebacker, you have to respect when a guy turns around and fakes like he's handing the ball off. You have to respect it. Otherwise, you're four steps back from the line of scrimmage, and that's enough for a good running back like Josh Jacobs is seemingly becoming to make a big play out of it. So you have to respect it, which clears up everything behind you. And Derek Carr is benefiting from that. I think it's one of the most astute. And I think I picked him for my rookie of the year, by the way. Offensive rookie of the year, Josh Jacobs.
I got the old Tiki and Tierney binder right here. Let's see what you got here.
But my point is, if you have a good running game, it makes things so much easier for
Josh
you.
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I love the kid. I knew he was going to get a lot of touches.
Yeah.
And he proved in week one that he can be a reliable, heavy touch guy. He had 23 carries, and I think he had two or three receptions as well. So the kid's going to be good as long as he stays healthy.
Let's see here, Teak. We might want a little mulligan on our Super Bowl winner. We both picked the Steelers, which looks horrendous now, but we'll stick with it for a little bit.
Wait till after week two.
And, in terms of the offensive rookie, you had Jacobs. I had TJ Hockenson.
Hockenson's going to push him for
good instincts right there, both of us there. Let's see. MVP, I've got Rodgers. He was quiet. 10 points against the Bears. He's got to get going. You had Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. You had what really jumped? I mean, it's only 1 week, so we can't get nuts with this. Tiki's wild cards were the Chargers, the Texans, the Seahawks, and the Falcons.
Mm.
Mine were the Chargers, the Browns, the Vikings, and Dallas. I had Philly winning the NFC East, Tiki had the Dallas Cowboys. And you didn't have the Eagles going to the playoffs at all?
No.
Well, all right. Hey, it's early. We'll see. Get the update from Mac. We'll come back. We'll get some more calls. Get a little blast in there as well on this Tuesday. Rich Ackerman.
It is time for the Game Plan for Success, sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at a team and their plans for success. How about the Astros still mashing, flexing their muscles the past couple of days? They outscore their opponents 36-1. How about this? 9 home runs in the span, yet it hasn't been the offense alone. The starting pitching has done their job as well, thrown a shutout over the last 14 frames. I mean, they are just, I'm telling you all summer, they're the team to beat. I know baseball's a little wacky. Best team doesn't always win, but the Astros have it all, at least on paper. Even more so, Houston 17-4 over their last 21 games, and they're playing their best baseball as the regular season begins to slowly come to a finish. Napa believes every driver deserves quality parts. That's why you can do it yourself at Napa Auto Parts stores or have it done for you at Napa Auto Care Center. Either way, that is Napa know-how. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. We'll get the blast coming up in a bit. We can still squeeze in some calls. How's that sound, T? Good?
Let's get a couple.
All right, Corey is in Virginia, and Corey is on Tiki and Tierney. Corey, what's up, buddy?
I just wanted to talk about how I believe Lamar Jackson will be the best quarterback out of the draft.
You could be right. Tell us why. What's up?
So I know everyone talked about his accuracy last year, but, I mean, Peyton Manning, his rookie year, threw 56.7%, 26 touchdowns versus 28 interceptions.
Yeah.
Different game.
Different game. And you got to remember who his coordinator was. It was the same one that Andrew Luck's coordinator was, Bruce Arians,
downfield,
whose philosophy is throw the ball downfield. Lamar didn't necessarily have that last year, but he was really inaccurate. He has significantly improved. It's only one game sample, but you got to be encouraged if you're a Ravens fan or just a Lamar Jackson fan, because he looked really good in game one.
Absolutely, and I believe he'll definitely get it together because everyone in the organization talks about how high his work ethic is.
Yeah. Yeah,
and how hard he worked over the offseason.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. I mean, you want your – thank you, appreciate your call, Corey. I think you want your guy who's going to ultimately be your leader. And BT mentioned this, and it's worth repeating. Ozzie Newsome, who's one of the really good GMs, maybe great GMs over the last two decades with the teams that he put together, a couple Super Bowls that he won, some of these iconic players in Baltimore history he was able to bring, including Suggs, who actually – played well for Arizona, had a sack and a half, I think. Everybody thought he was done.
T-Sizzle.
He's basically said, look, I'm doing you guys a favor. I'm getting you a gift because I'm moving up to the last pick in the first round, which allows you to keep him for 5 years. It may take some time for him to develop, but when he does, you're going to thank yourselves. And he's already proven Ozzie Newsome right in a sense. We'll see how much further, how much higher he can go because – he's that new style quarterback that we've talked about a lot, but hasn't really fully made it, at least not more than a couple of years. If he can, put up the rushing numbers, not like he did last year, but decent enough that's threatening to a defense and throw the ball like he did against Miami, I mean, how the hell do you stop him?
It's going to be really tough. I mean, even if he just turns the corner once or twice and moves the sticks and – I mean, I'll tell you, and it's so frustrating when this happens to your team, and everybody goes through this on Sunday. You're sitting there, you're having a nice defensive series, it's 3rd and 9, you flush the quarterback out of the pocket, you get him, he flees the tackle box, you're pursuing him, and all of a sudden you look up, you're like, oh, where's my linebackers, where's my nickel, where's my dime coverage, oh, they're downfield, and whomever it is, they just scoot 12, 15, 17 yards.
And their backs are turned.
Yeah.
They don't see him until he's 15 yards, first down later.
First down. Yeah. That is so dispiriting. You know, the thing about Peyton, too, his rookie year, I knew he led the league in picks. I didn't realize he led the league in attempts.
Oh, wow.
He threw the ball 500, what is this?
That's a lot.
Mike, do me a favor. Who threw the most passes last year? Like, how many times did Mahomes throw? What was the league leader in attempts? Last year, his first year, he threw 575 passes.
A lot of tosses for a rookie
That's
quarterback.
That's got to be. Did anybody throw it 600 times last year? You think?
I'm sure there were.
Yeah, I guess so, when you look at it like that.
Like, so many teams throw to run now, and even if they were, bubble screens.
Let me see.
675, yeah. Big
Ben. Okay.
Because that's all they did without Le'Veon Bell, and then James Conner got hurt. I knew that he had a ton of attempts. they didn't run the ball really at all as the season wound down. And you could I remember having like looking at Ben's stats, it's like he threw the ball 65 times in this game.
My God.
You
know, okay.
He used to only run 65 plays in a game. He threw it 65 times. So yeah, Steelers, but you're right. That's a lot for a rookie.
Well, think about and you know, you drop back 575 times. The offensive line wasn't very good at that point yet. They were obviously, you know, they eventually got very good, the whole team, but and the game was different. You didn't just throw it to the flats and get it out of your hand very quickly. A lot of those were down the field where, you know, Peyton's patting the ball and he's looking. He's got guys coming at him. It's a lot of throws, man. I'm so, yeah, 28 picks is one thing, but he threw it 600 times, basically. All right, Teak, you ready for the blast, buddy?
Yep, let's hit it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Couple of good questions here, by the way. DeMarcus Lawrence, curious how former player who was always cordial with the autographs, and he still is, how you answer this. DeMarcus Lawrence gets a little flack here for snubbing a young Giants fan. All right, wanted his autograph, and he said, "You need the right jersey, son." That's a quote. Any issue with his snub?
Yeah, I take issue with his snub. You got to be good to the enemy as well. He's not really your enemy. It's entertainment. Oh. I mean, he's a young kid. I don't remember how old he was. He's probably like 9 or 10 or something like that. So he's a fan of the sport. He happens to be a Giants fan, so he had a Giants jersey on. But hey, you played a good game. Make a fan. Make a friend of somebody.
I was asking Mike, how old is the kid? You know, if he's like 15 or 16, then he could have a little fun.
Yeah,
if he's
you're
like
right.
8, 9, 10, still that really impressionable, still almost like a little boy, you got to sign it. What you do is you sign it right on the Giants jersey, and you deface the Giants jersey. So the kid doesn't know.
Yeah,
he,
right.
You know, he met somebody who looks like the Incredible Hulk standing in front of him. His eyes are probably like saucers. So DeMarcus Lawrence does the right thing, but he defaces the Giants jersey at the same time.
Look, he knew who he was. I think he, even though he liked the Giants, you could hear the kid. He was saying, DeMarcus. He wanted him to sign his whatever it was. I mean, maybe he was, I don't know, with an autograph-seeking father or something, and he kind of sniffed it out, DeMarcus Lawrence. But he followed up on Twitter to answer the criticism. He basically said, "Suck it up, kid."
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Wow, he's doubling down.
Doubling down,
man. Listen, it's a tough, cold world out there. You better get those early lessons.
It is.
All right. Big Poppy. Big Poppy throwing out the first pitch last night for the Red Sox. We all know what happened to Big Poppy in the DR. So even as Yankee fans, are we starting to root for Ortiz? You know what's crazy? Well, I always root for people's health. That goes, and I don't care what they wear or who they are or where they're from. That goes without saying. And that's just the human spirit, the human condition. I've always liked Big Pop.
I have too.
Like, but you're not me. Like, I get that. Don't take that through. I know you don't.
Yeah.
But I am a dyed-in-the-wool, diehard for my life Yankee fan. You're not. I mean, it's the difference.
That's right.
This guy crushed my October soul. But I've always liked his. He's just a gregarious. He's just a good guy.
Agreed. And I met him.
I met him, I've liked him too. I like him. I hate to say I like Big Poppy.
I told you a story. He asked me, he's like, "Do you think I could have played tight end?" I'm like,
"No, you couldn't run Big Poppy."
I was like, I said, "Your legs are a little skinny."
You know what? He could be one of those left tackles like Meacham or like DeBrickashaw Ferguson with those spindly legs with the big upper body. Because he wasn't playing. I mean, if anything, he needed 50 more pounds to be a left tackle.
That's right.
He's not playing tight end.
Yeah, I said, "Can you take a hit?" He didn't want to take a hit. Right. He's like, "I hit."
He hit 480 and far and high. 480 feet. All right, how about this? Edith Cantor confirms that players stay away from the Knicks because of ownership. Should the NBA try to force Dolan to sell?
No, they can't. Please, they can't force him to sell. If you're a Knicks fan, that may be your greatest dream come true if he does sell, but they can't force him to sell because it's his team. He owns it. At the end of the day, though, would it be better for the NBA if New York had a viable team and free agents saw it as a destination, and we know it's a number one media market, and if more eyeballs could organically and I guess, in manufactured way, come to New York? Would it be good for the NBA?
D-Cell's giving you the eyeball. Hurry up.
Yeah.
He's giving you the eyes. Giving you the stink eye.
They can't force him to sell.
They can't, unless it was something like Donald Sterling.
Exactly.
If it was something fully egregious criminally, or, you know, where there was just a racist element, or there was just something that it was untenable. So I do agree with you. You can't force him to sell. It's amazing to think about this. You know, the entire social media era, the Knicks have been irrelevant. Imagine if the Knicks were good during the social media.
BT,
just imagine.
You've asked me this all
when
the time.
When they become good.
Why I'm not as, like, so I've become a Yankees fan. Obviously, I appreciate the Jets, even though I'm not a Jets fan because I play for the Giants.
We don't need your pity. We don't need your pity.
But you know what I mean? Like, I'll pay attention to them. Like, I don't pay attention to the Knicks. and you asked me this once, and I said, because they haven't. I've been here for 22 years in New York. They haven't been good one time, except for the Jeremy Lin little run.
Jeremy Lin, that was a great month in 22 years. No, I know. It was amazing. Well, you were at the game when he dropped the 43 on the Lakers and Kobe that Friday night at the Garden. No, listen, Jeremy, I mean, please, we don't need to waste time on the Knicks. The point is, if they can ever get him to sell, I wish they could, but they can't. Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt compares the departures from the program to the Titanic. What? Should Tennessee be an elite program? Yeah, they should be an elite program. They're in an elite conference. They have elite money. They have an elite fan base. They have, how many people are in Knoxville go to a game? 107,000, 110,000? It's top three, top four. I mean, it's right there with the Big House. It's right there. I mean, it's a monstrosity of a stadium. Now, Nashville, Memphis has some in-state talent. I don't know that it's the best in-state high school football talent, but they were good once. They should absolutely always be top 25.
Yeah,
you don't have to be top 10.
Yeah,
you got to be decent.
There's a history. Like a good history of success. I mean, they won a national championship. And Peyton Manning was there. They've had some really great players.
T. Martin,
he won a championship.
That's right.
Alvin Kamara, he was in Tennessee. People forgotten because they were bad when he was not bad, but you know what I mean. They weren't in the top 10 when he was there. But yeah, they should be. But they needed to change the culture a little bit. They hope that Jeremy Pruitt does this.
Mm-hmm.
But 0-2 and the way that they've lost a couple of these first two games, it's not encouraging.
That's the problem. Especially if you're a former power and you like drop in that conference, those other coaches are going to eat you up.
They will disparage you
on the recruiting trail.
Exactly.
I don't know how you get back unless you start cheating.
You're right.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but you almost have to start cheating. Start cheating, Tennessee. All right, Alabama is, quote, disappointed at the early start time because it's going to be too hot here. So, too many daytime kickoffs. Do they have a gripe? Well, I mean, listen, a lot of this is structured for TV. A lot of this is structured just based on the metrics of the country. I mean, you're not going to have Stanford start and Cal or Stanford and USC play at noon Eastern on the West Coast when it's, it makes no sense. You have to line it up accordingly. And the temperature is only an issue for the first month.
Yeah.
So maybe if you can make some changes to maybe be sensitive to that in the first month, I guess. But, I mean, I'm also not playing, but I don't see it as a huge issue. You play, do you?
No, you're used to it, especially if, you've done the right kind of, preparation in the off season. You've run hard and you hydrate well during the week. It sucks, but it's worse for the fans, as they're saying, than it is for the players.
Why, though? I mean, for a noon kick, that's great. You get up, you go tailgate. What's so bad about that?
It's brutal. Like, you haven't been in the South when it's, 110 degrees and 80% humidity, not like it was in Texas.
Yeah, I hear you.
And you can't breathe, and there's no relief.
Does 4 o'clock in the afternoon make a world of difference, honestly?
At this point in the year, yeah, because it starts getting dark at, like, 6. So you're by halftime, it's like, oh, God, the sun came. Thank you. Right, it goes down behind the stadium. So even though it's still hot, at least there's shade.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're getting beat upon for the entirety of a 4-hour, 3.5-hour game, that's brutal, man.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
And as I say, I take your word for it. I want to do a little research here to make sure I'm going to take your word for it. Let me see. Let me just go to the hourly weather update here in Tuscaloosa. So, any given day, we'll start with tomorrow. All right, right now at 6 p.m., the humidity is 42%.
Oh, it's a nice day down there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
How hot is it?
At 5 o'clock, the humidity was 39%.
Huh?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. There's no rhyme or reason to this. At 7 o'clock, the humidity, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I don't understand this. So it almost seems like that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's going to be hot as hell any way you look at it.
That's a good
point.
Suck
it up. You're going to win by 50 points. Just smile.
Well, that's part of the issue anyways. It's not a big draw media-wise.
Well, that's fair.
You're blowing people out.
Well, schedule some better teams. Maybe you get some more fans in there, right. All right, Teague. Everybody have a great Tuesday, and we'll be back midweek tomorrow. Get you set up for week number two around the NFL. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.